Let's all stand, please, for a reading of God's Word. Exodus 17, verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let it down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd, Lord, I pray, help me as I preach this evening. Lord, I need clarity of thought and mind. I need to be in close contact and surrender to your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I certainly don't want to say anything that I shouldn't, and I certainly don't want to left said unsaid anything that you intend me to say. But Lord, I thank you for the Bible. Boy, it's a source of comfort and strength. Lord, if we just read it and do it, boy, how our lives would be different. So I pray, Lord, that we'll take this portion of Scripture, and as we see other verses tonight, Lord, that we'll take them to heart, and we'll adopt these principles, place them firmly into our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I like this Old Testament story. I just like it. I do. I was on the phone the other day to somebody, and they were asking how the ministry was going. Somebody from, not from this area, just a friend of mine. And I said something to him that I'm going to say to you. He said, how's the church going? How things are going? And I said, good. You know, it's always good to be able to give a good report. I said, things are going good. I said, I think that we're making the devil mad. That always makes me happy. And I think Lord's allowing us to see people saved. And I think that makes heaven happy. And said the carpet's been wet a lot, leading in and out of the baptistry, and that makes everybody happy, saved. And just so many good things, so many little stories, so many triumphs, individual triumphs in Christians' lives, steps being taken, growth being seen. I was going to share this with you Sunday night, and the Lord took it out of my mind, so I didn't do it, but Justin down here, he's the ugly one right there. And so one of the young men that ride in on the Shelburne bus, he came to me last Sunday night and handed me a whole plastic bag full of stinking, wicked, hellish rock and roll CDs and records. And he just had busted them all up, which was the fun part. I was kind of ticked off he didn't let me in on that part of it, but just hit here, Pastor Jerry. I'm done with this stuff. Amen. And there's folks, there's little things like that happening all the time. Now, I know some of you never know about it because you're so cut up on the two or three little negative critical things that you can't get off of. But if you just get off that, look around, there's good things happening all around you. But we're in a battle. Now, don't fool yourself. The victories that are won through blood, sweat, and tears, and people willing to put themselves on the front line. But I was on the phone talking to this guy, and I said, brother, let me tell you something. I can't tell you what a blessing it is to serve as an assistant in a church with a pastor that has 35 years of battle experience. And I mean that. He just keeps going. And like the ever-ready bunny. Going and going and going. I wanted to preach this message. Took it out. Wanted to preach. I asked him Sunday. I could tell he was tired Sunday. And then he's been back and forth to Indianapolis. And I said, Dad, let me preach Wednesday night. And he said, okay. Well, I knew he was tired, or he wouldn't have said it that fast. Okay. And but I could tell he was tired. And, you know, he just keeps going. And I'm going to tell you something. What we were talking about last Sunday night, there's somebody running this thing at the front that could have laid his candle down and could have had the legitimate reasons to do it. But he's just standing there. You know what? He's holding it higher than he's ever held it before. He's holding it higher than he ever held it before. And this isn't going to be a sermon where we spend all our time glorifying man, because that's not what Pastor Ross is about. But you know what? We certainly ought to honor faithfulness, because that's important. And God's given us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church a Moses. What a blessing. What a blessing to have a Moses. I mean, folks, that's a blessing. And I got to reading this story, and I thought, this gives us a little insight into the life, and some maybe just a little insight into some of the frailties of leadership. But great leaders, great biblical giant heroes of the faith still got tired from time to time. Still got beat down from time to time. And, you know, God give us this little story to let us followers know that that happens. You know, we just sometimes take for granted that, you know, Pastor Ross, I mean, you know, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of. Sometimes we almost get this idea that there's no humanity there. But he's human. And this little story tells us about the importance of holding up the leader's arms. Not, I didn't say grabbing hold of them and dragging them down. I didn't see if we could figure out an extra burden to put on his shoulder. I'm talking about holding up his hands. You say, why is that important? Well, several reasons. Let's start with introduction. For several reasons important we hold up his hands, our pastor's hands. Number one, because we are in a battle. And folks, we're in a battle. And you know, the old saying goes on the battlefield that your best way to attack the enemy is to shoot at the man that has the brass buttons. And there's more bullets that head over our heads, heads of us infantrymen, and are aimed at our generals and leaders than there ever are coming our way, because they know if they can kill leadership, they're going to cause confusion and followship. Right. Satan's not an idiot. He's been in battle against the Lord's armies for a lot of years. He targets leadership in a way that we will never really understand. I mean, if you haven't been there, you don't understand it. But he's going to do everything he can to shoot down the man with the brass buttons. He's going to go for the leader. I will say this, as a pastor, I've done everything backwards in my life. I'm proud of that. Most people graduate from Bible college and become an assistant, then become a pastor. I become a pastor, then become an assistant. Amen. You know, why follow the crowd? I tell everybody, don't follow the crowd. Do things different. Amen. So, but I thank God that I had some pastor experience. And I'll tell you that there is a satanic, there's a level of satanic attack. Brother Tom, you could talk about this. Others in here that have pastor could talk. There's a level of satanic attack that goes on to a man who is in the ministry like a layman will never understand. You just shake your head yes, because it's true. It is true. And we're in a battle. Okay, number two, our church is not going to win the battle if our pastor's hands fall down. Now, you may think the way to win your war is to discourage the pastor, but you're not winning a battle. You're losing the battle for all of us. Okay? Number three, we need to hold up our pastor's hands because our pastor's human. Amen? He's human. He's going to get tired. You know, every day is not going to be a perfect day. There's going to be times he gets discouraged. There's going to be times, like I mentioned a minute ago, that he's under oppression, satanic oppression, that we maybe don't understand. We need to hold up his hands. I think we need to hold up our pastor's hands because God rewards those who support his man. Right. And folks, that's Bible principle found from Genesis to Revelation. I'm telling you, if there's one thing, I don't know how anybody can argue these two points. God rewards those who support his man, and God judges those who stand against his man. That's as plain in the Bible as anything you'll ever see. If you want the blessings of God, get beside the man of God and help lift his arms up. If you want the curse of God, then stand against the man of God. It's just in the book. To young people, to make one of your heroes a pastor. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying we do this. We don't have to have an organized one. But you know what? It just ticks me off. I read the silly newspaper. I don't know what I waste my time. They got a Britney Spears fan club. By the way, Britney Spears is of the devil. I don't want to say that. So we'll say, Britney Spears is of the devil. Amen. I like that. I hope she gets saved, but until then, Britney Spears is of the devil. Amen. Just had to get that out of my system, all right. You got a bunch of airhead little girls and, you know, trying to be Britney Spears lookalikes. Following that pagan, wicked, blasphemous, hellish, whorish woman. Teaching our young ladies that indecency is the way to be. It's just wicked. Listen, cracks me up. She has a fan club. I don't know. I think I'm just going to join the preacher's fan club. Amen. Now, what I did was I took this sermon out. The pastor told me I was going to preach, and I said, I want to preach that, but I'll tell you what, Lord, I'm going to set that thing aside because I always feel more comfortable preaching this, and I think it makes him more comfortable when I preach this when he's not here. So I told him to go home. He went home. He's home drinking. He said there were some ball games on TV he wanted to watch anyway. So I said, Dad, I just need you. Okay, I can go home. No, he didn't. He come to me, and I set this sermon aside thinking, well, I'll just preach it down the road. And Mom came in and asked me for the title, and I couldn't remember it. I was gonna preach on Jesus and the woman at the well. And Dad came in right from the service. Hey, come here. I'm going to go down and check on the master's clubs during the preaching. So I'm going to slip out right for the preaching. I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. Went back, got the other sermon out, and said, all right. Thank you, Lord. Got him out of the service. I can preach what I thought you wanted me to preach anyway. Amen. Isn't God good? I mean, God's just good sometimes. Let me give you something, because I believe this. I believe with all my heart. Now, if I get a little sarcastic from time to time, it's just because I'm a PK. No, it is. I'm just telling you, there's that human element. I got about patience for somebody that spends their life being a doag. You know who a doag is? You got to read the Old Testament. Everybody was afraid to lift their sword against the priests of God except Doag. And there's always the doags out there that want to spend their life, and they want to wrap themselves around a bunch of religious phylacteries while they're doing it, acting like they're doing the will of God by always being, you know, they think they're the pastor's own personal overseer. God has brought them to the church to constantly critique and oversee the preacher and to point out every mistake that he makes or every shortcoming. Brother John's a PK. He's shaking his head. You got to live with that. You got to watch that. You know, as a PK, sometimes you just want to go clean some old lady's clock. You know, wait outside in the steps as she's walking out and just accidentally trip her and send her on to wherever she needs to go. Amen. So. Hey, Pastor, I don't detect a real, you know, Christian spirit of love. And folks, I'm a PK. You just got to forgive me. I'm working on these things. I'm really trying to get this root of bitterness out of me, you know. But, you know, it's just not being a preacher's kid. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody who claims to be a Christian to spend all their life going around being a doag. I just scratch my head a little wonder and think, man, they ought to go back and revisit that time they claimed they got saved, because I don't know what happened there, but I'm a little mystified. Amen. I think there's some insecurity, people that are insecure, and the only way they can feel good about themselves is attack leadership all the time. And it's shameful. It is. It's a mark of insecurity and immaturity. And if you have a problem with that, I'm not mad at you. You're not my enemy, but you really need to get right with God. You just need to get right with God. You know, there's a lot of things that the preacher's got to hold up. And it's silly for us to, because of our immaturity, put unnecessary burdens on him. He's got enough to deal with. Amen. See, it's good every once in a while for an evangelist to come in or an assistant pastor to stand up and preach this kind of a message. It's hard for a preacher to preach this kind of message. But let me tell you how you ought to be treating me. And I think an evangelist or assistant pastor trying to get up and say, folks, let's hit a reset button here. Let's understand something. We're in a battle, and our church isn't going to win if our pastor's hands are down, and our pastor is human, and God will reward you if you get beside him and support him. And God will judge you if you stand against him. That's just good Bible preaching, good Bible principles. Now let me give you some real practical things, because I believe the vast majority of people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they're for their pastor, they love their pastor. You know, get off this thing, you know. Well, he's, you know, every once in a while I hear somebody say, you know, maybe not against about my preacher, but about some man of God, well, he's not perfect. Well, you know, you need a PhD. Someone needs to give you an honorary doctorate degree, because you just are brilliant. We all thought he was. You know, I have never, you know, this is going to be this kind of night. Just get used to it, all right? So, but I've never required of any pastor that I've ever had, I've never required perfection. I've never asked him to be perfect. I don't expect him to be perfect. Get off that. I never asked him to be perfect. He doesn't ask us. Do you want him to ask? You want the same burden put on you? I don't ask him to be perfect. I know going into it he's going to make some mistakes. I know going into it he's got human frailties and human weaknesses. So what? So what? Maybe that's why he needs you to help hold his arms up. Amen. Now there's several things you can do for your preacher. There's several things the Bible teaches we can do for our preacher. So let's use our Bible for a few minutes. I'm going to give you some good practical preaching. Teaching at 8 o'clock, we'll close this thing and be done. All right. I was scared. Last Sunday night, man, the word's out now. Pastor Jerry can preach a 22-minute message. I mean, I hated to do that. I think now that people know I can, they might expect that all the time. Well, let's get rid of that. 8 o'clock, though, we'll be done. Amen. 8 o'clock. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look at this. I want to be an Aaron. I want to be a Hur. I want to lift my preacher's arms up. Or I'll just be a Joshua if he asks me to. Go out and fight the battle. But that means somebody's going to have to be up there beside him with a rock and holding his arms up. I'll do whatever my preacher asks me to do and be where he wants me to be. But I know this, he needs men that will hold his arms up. He needs men that will fight the battles. First thing I can do for my preacher, number one, is I can pray for him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul was not ashamed to write this. This was a perfectly reasonable request. Brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course. Lord, bless my preacher. Lord, when he preaches, I pray, Lord, that you'd bind Satan. And Lord, give him clarity of thought and clarity of speech and Holy Spirit power. That's the kind of prayers he wants from us. Amen. And have free course, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Pray for my preacher, Lord. I know he's going to lift you up. So Lord, be with my preacher and help him keep his hands up as he lifts you up. Even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You know what that's saying? It's saying, Lord, protect him from the Doags. Protect him from the Doags. You know why? Because there's always, notice this, unreasonable and wicked men who stand against men of God. There always will be. Brother Charles, there always will be. You go in any church in America, and you know what? You're going to find people there that, I don't know, I don't get it. I don't understand the mindset. I don't understand the thinking. But it seems like the focus of their life is to go is to cause their preacher some heartache, or cause a rift, or to cause a problem, or cause him more work. I don't understand. I'd just be honest with you. I don't understand that. I just can't absorb that. Why wouldn't you want to be a blessing to your preacher? Why wouldn't you want to be a blessing to your preacher? I just don't quite get that. All right, pray for him. Pray for him. Number one, pray for him. That means you ought to have real close to the top of your prayer list, somewhere way up near the top of your prayer list, Pastor Ross's name. Have right beside his name, Mrs. Ross's name. Pray for them. Pray for your preacher. Pray for your pastor's wife. Pray for him. Hold him up prayer. One of the ways you get under his arms and hold his arms up is you hold him up through prayer. Amen. Pray for him. Pray for him. You know, you ought to make yourself a little deal here, especially those. I got different things that help trigger prayer memories for me. And I was telling Brother Tom this, that I made a, I think I'm telling you this, I made a decision that I know Mrs. Clay needs to sell that property down there. And so when I drive by there, I just told the Lord, when I drive over and I ever look over and see that, I'm going to pray and ask God, Lord, help her sell that property. And I don't know what it takes for you. But, you know, I don't know where your travels take you during the week or what you have to do, but I don't think I'd ever drive by Blessed Hope Baptist Church without praying for a preacher. I think, or maybe say, well, I don't ever come this way. Then I'd come up with some way to remember, you know what, I'm going to pray for my preacher. I'm going to pray for my preacher. I don't mean just once in the morning or one time a week. Well, you know, I like these guys say, you know, every third Thursday of the second month, I pray for you, Pastor Jerry. I say, amen, brother. It's all right. You can stay on that schedule, but why don't you pray for your preacher every day, amen? He needs your prayers. Guys, some of these guys have such a system, it's amazing to me, all right? Number two, pray for number one, pray for number two. Be faithful to every service of your church. Be faithful to every service of your church. I'm talking about ways to encourage your preacher. Be faithful to every service of your church. I encourage your preacher. Oh, he don't know if I'm here or not. Sure he does. Are you kidding? Us Baptists are such creatures of habit. We got our pew. Got our spot. And woe on the visitor. Comes in and takes our spot. Amen. Yeah. Brother, I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to leave or move because that's my pew. Amen, you know. Wicked, brother. Wicked. It just shows a lack of respect and it's just all kinds of stuff. Anyway. Careful, she's already full of bitterness. Now, don't. I'm telling you that a preacher can sit down right up there. Well, I don't know. Maybe not anymore. You know, you might be able to miss now and he might not even know it, you know. If you have somebody close to your size and wear something like you usually do and sit in the same area, you might be able to fool him now. Nah, he knows. Preacher can come in and sit down and know in a heartbeat. You know, so many times, you know, I mean, this is just, you can say, well, why are preachers like that? I can't explain preachers. You know, they are the way they are. They are that way because they love you. I don't know how many times he's walked in the back room and after service, and we'll meet, and he'll say, "Where was so? I wonder where so and so was tonight." He knows if you're not there. Ladies, you go to a lot of trouble. Have a big dinner. Have the family over, extended family over, maybe some friends. Put on a big meal for them. You don't start that meal the morning of the day. I'm talking about if it's a big deal, big shindig. And you start. I mean, it's a whole week process. I'm going to have the family over. I mean, you go to the grocery store, you got to get just the right stuff. Some of the stuff you start putting together, you're going to make homemade bread and rolls, you got to put that together a day or so before so it rises. I mean, it's a week process, and finally you come up with this meal, and you've worked and you toiled over it, and you've thought of every person that's going to be there and what they need and what would be a special blessing to them. And then you put all that work into it, and you set the table, and this is the time you use the best china and the best paper plates or whatever you have, and put a tablecloth on, and you've cleaned the house and swept. My company's come. I mean, and you prepared and you worked, and you stand by the front door, and it's time for the meal to start, and you look back, and you stand by the door, and you look and you look and you look what time it is, and you look, and it's 12 at noon, and they're supposed to have been here, and it's 12:30, and they're not here, and it's 1 o'clock, and I expect you'd be upset. And the preacher goes in his office and gets on his knees and says, God, I want to feed my people. I want to help my people. I want to be a blessing to my people. He gets in the Word of God and studies it. And I'll be honest with you, at this point in time, unless the Lord chooses to do something miraculous, pastor's having to put much more time now in than he used to have just to prepare a message. I've knocked on the door. I'm just sharing from my heart. I want you to appreciate the pastor God's given you. And I've knocked on the door and had him say yes and walked in there and have him have his glasses down on his nose and a magnifying like that. And he's trying to prepare a message so he can come up here and feed you and help you. And you're not going to show up. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. You know, I think that's wrong. I just think you ought to be here. It's an odd thing when we've got the point in fundamental Baptist churches where it becomes a tedious thing, an odd thing, a hard thing to preach on church faithfulness. Why should that be a hard thing? I mean, folks, that's kindergarten Christianity. Faithfulness to church is kindergarten level Christianity. You haven't got to that point. You haven't figured that out. You're not ready to go on to anything else. Amen. Be here. Courage is the preacher. Hey, try this. Say amen when he's preaching. No, that's all right. It's biblical. We may have to preach a message on this one night. Let's go through all the places in the Bible where people say amen. Amen. That's right, preacher. It's good preaching. Amen. That's good, preacher. We need that. Thank you, preacher. He said something bad. You believe this, I'll be over there. I'll say shame. Shame. What are you doing? I'm just telling my preacher, I'm with you. I'm for you. I agree with you. You're right. Keep preaching the Bible. We need it. Say it. Just say it, preacher. Amen. Don't just pour it on. And just help him out. Be faithful to every service of the church. Encourage him as he preaches. Here's a thought. Encourage him with kind words and frequent expressions of your thankfulness. Amen? Amen? I mean, you know, folks, it's pretty cheap. Doesn't cost anything. Just stop at the back door and say, preacher, I haven't told you this in a while, and I want you to let you know. I appreciate what you do for me and my family. I don't tell you enough. But I appreciate what you do for me. I'm talking about all the way from the adults to the children. Talking about teenagers going to their preacher from time to time, just saying, preacher, looking right in the eye. I said, preacher, I want to tell you something. I love you. Appreciate you. Thank you for preaching hard at us. We need it. Thank you. Yeah. Now, folks, I just like saying, you know, sick them to a hound dog. I mean, that'll take you a long way down the road. That'll help you fight off the discouragement that Satan always sends your way. I mean, I remember one time when I was preaching at Central Baptist, and you know what, folks, preachers, sometimes, you know what? Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. You know, sometimes you have to preach those hard messages. You just have to. And people accuse you of having every one of the wrong motives they can imagine. You know, but I've got a old evangelist taught me. So I told our young adult class this. I'll share it with you all. An old evangelist said something to me one time I've never forgot. He said, when you pick up a rock and chuck it in a pack of dogs, the one that starts howling is the one you hit. Some of you can't hardly get to the car for. Man, there's going to be the discouraging things. There's going to be the unkindnesses. There's going to be the attacks. But encourage him with kind words and frequent expressions of your thanks. I remember getting up Central Baptist when I planned to just get up there and just have to do what preachers have to do sometimes. Sometimes you just draw a line in the sand. Sometimes you just preach. You just let the chips fall where they may. You know, the old evangelist said, the old preachers used to say, you know, preach with your bags packed. Some of those sermons, you just come with your bags packed and just preach. I mean, you know, thank God. Thank God. Well, we need preachers. I'm so sick and tired of, I don't know what we got in the pulpits nowadays, but there's a lot of politicians, not too many preachers. There's a lot of that. While they're preparing their message. I don't think Pastor Ross has a wet finger. I don't think he even knows what that means. Just says, God, what do you say? Okay, I'm going to get up here and say it this Sunday. Amen. And we're preaching one of those hard messages, and I had a man come out the door, and he grabbed a hold of my hand, looked me in the eye, and he said, Pastor Jerry, he said, I know getting up and saying what you had to say this morning was not easy. He said, I want you to know that I want to thank you for it. I need it. My wife needs it. My children need it. Don't stop. And then he went on out the door. I'm going to tell you what, that'll take you a long way down the road. Okay, instead of this. Amen. Talking about preaching. I'm talking about how to respond properly to preaching. Go to Proverbs chapter 26. How do you encourage your preacher? Pray for him. Be faithful to every service of your church. Say amen. Encourage him with kind words and frequent expressions of your thankfulness. Now, silence is agreeance.
Yep, that's it.
Silence is the same thing as agreeing with him. Shut him down. Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You know, as long as you lend an ear to a disgruntled, you're going to have strife in a church. Yeah, but they've got a legitimate, well, you know where they ought to be? Right in there telling him. And folks, to do anything less is not honorable. It's disloyal and it's not honorable. Amen. Yeah, I just like to peg them. The Bible says, mark those that cause division. I don't call their names, I just describe them so well you know who they are. I'm talking about the ones that come up and say, you know what, Pastor Ross is a wonderful pastor. What's the next word? Amen. Now, listen, you can't stop all that nonsense, but you don't have to listen to it. And something I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to give ear to somebody that wants to criticize a preacher. I didn't say it was perfect. I said, I'm not going to give ear to somebody that wants to just be critical. His office is right through that door, the next door, right there. You know where his office is? Do me a favor. Don't come to the assistant pastor when you don't like something the pastor's doing and try to go through me because you don't have the guts to go to him. I've had some of that going on. I'm going to start shutting you down. I'm going to start embarrassing you. Don't come to me. I'm not the pastor. Yep. Right through that door, through the next one. It's the pastor's office. Amen. You go to the door and you go. Amen. Good. You see, if you want it fixed, you go where you can get it fixed. If you don't want it fixed, but you just want to be a problem, you go to other people. I'm going to tell you, this is valuable stuff, Brother Don. This is good stuff. Amen. I look like out there and seeing our deacons smiling. They're loving this. Amen. By the way, Brother Don, tell you something. Don't come to me because you don't have the guts to go to preacher. Sometimes people go to deacons. But I've been talking, and there's people in the congregation that feel, who elected you leader? Oh, you've come to represent a segment of the congregation. We having a good time?
Amen.
Amen. This is the ministry. So you defend him. You defend him when you hear someone criticize. Don't be quiet. Don't just sit there and listen. You say, oh, whoa, 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 time out. Oh, ho, oh, oh. Ho! Yeah, what good's this doing? Why are you telling me? You got a problem with the preacher, you ought to go talk to him. Tell you what, why don't we go? Come on. You want to see somebody put it in reverse? You know why? Because they don't want to fix it. Okay? Folks, I'm telling you, 95% of the church problems would be fixed if we did that one thing. I'm just telling you right there. 95 of the silly, foolish, carnal nonsense would stop if we just say, come on. Boy, you know, see, obviously this is important to you. Wouldn't it come to me? Come on. There. Let me show you where the pastor's office is. Amen. Defend him. Well, he doesn't do everything right. He's not perfect. I guarantee you one thing, his percentages are higher than yours. Me? Yeah, you. The one who has no error, makes no mistake, who's right about everything. Yes, you. I'd bet on his percentages above yours. If I bet. Hebrews chapter 13, let's go and we'll close there. Got about 2 minutes. Keep my word here. Pray for him, be faithful to every service, be expressive. Man, if he says something funny, laugh. If he says something sad, cry. If he says something right, say amen. Let him know you're on his side. Encourage him with kind words, frequent expressions of your thankfulness. Defend him when you hear someone criticizing. Be loyal. And follow him as he leads the church. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. I don't know where or when or how that loyalty to a pastor became a bad thing, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not. I don't follow men. I just follow God. I know that's why you don't listen to your husband. I told you I'm dealing with some bitterness. What my intention tonight is to give you so much to criticize me about, you'll leave Pastor alone for a while, amen? I got broad shoulders. I mean, just if you just can't stop being a critic, then unload on me because I can take it. Matter of fact, I'll provoke you. I'll give you a reason. Just leave. Why don't you leave the Moses alone? All right. Good night. Come on. I just happen to think he's earned our respect. I just think he's laid down a track record that is amazing. I think in a time and a period of our society when I've seen fundamental preachers take off and then fall by the wayside and get involved in all kinds, I just think it's amazing. Somebody can be the last, the youngest one of 10 kids. It's just a story. It's just an example of the amazing grace of God. Doesn't even want to be in a, if he's three people in a room, it's crowded and he wants out. God saves his souls and calls him to preach. And you know what? He just starts following Jesus, reading the Bible, and listening to Oliver B. Green. And goes to American Baptist Church because he didn't know any better, and then keeps studying the Bible until he keeps preaching everything that makes them mad, and they kick him out. And a bunch of us have to go find him a stump, make a pulpit out of it, and he just keeps preaching. And I mean, he's not ever gotten up here and wanted anything. He's never asked you for any glory. Amen? But he deserves our respect. Let me just read these verses and we'll pray. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, their behavior, their lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Crazy. You imagine being in a fort or in a camp. Brother Ron, you imagine being out in the jungles of Vietnam, and there's a guy on guard duty, and he's out there guarding, staying awake, and got his finger on the trigger so that you all can sleep and be in peace. And you get up in the middle of the night, sneak up behind him and stab him, and then go back to bed. Your guy. Now, how much sense does that make? He's watching for your soul. I mean, is this a little strange to you? Amen. Obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. That is, for that is unprofitable for you. And I believe with all my heart that you can argue this, but I think that verse is very plain, very clear. I think at the judgment seat, your pastor is going to have some input. I think your pastor is going to have some input. I've had four pastors in my life. Four. I've had Elmer Evans. We were saved under Felix Griffith. My dad and Brother Hiles. Five if you count me. It's really hard to pastor yourself, though, so four. Those counseling sessions are rugged, man. Two chairs. You ask a question, you jump up, you sit down, you answer it, you know. I'm glad of the four pastors that I had. I can say two things about them. All of them. Number one, every one of them loved me. I believe that every one of them loved me. And number two, I don't think any of them were scared of me. Thank God. Thank God. They just got up and preached. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Just to serve you is a privilege, God. And preach what I felt like you wanted me to preach tonight, Lord. We've tried to, Lord, make it a little bit palatable by having some fun, mixing a little humor in. But boy, I don't know how you approach a more serious and sacred subject. All through the land, men of God are standing. And the world's attacking and the Satan's attacking. And this seems a little silly to me that they have to watch their back. I mean, it seems like the church ought to have their back. It seems like the people they've given their life to serve ought to get their back. But I pray that you'd help us to be good church members. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the kind of a church member that holds our preacher's hands up so that we can win the battle. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.